MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, the cost of living in South Africa is rising faster than wages, with the working and poor and vulnerable households obviously taking the hardest hit. And this is very disturbing. Now, there's a new report from the National Planning Commission, along with UNICEF, and it tracks more than a decade of data and is now offering urgent solutions and recommendations. And in that respect, I'm joined now by NPC Commissioner Makgiba Mollo to discuss the findings and what they mean for the country's broader developmental agenda. Makgiba, the single most concerning trend that the report uncovered, what's your assessment here?
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. I think what's clear is the incredible increase in the cost of food over the period that we've looked at. I mean, it has increased by 95%. And I think that we don't really need data to tell us that. I think it's a lived experience for all South Africans that has clearly impacted everybody, but particularly the poor and particularly those who are dependent on social grants.
And it raises questions, I guess, about whether the social grant framework is enough to shield the most vulnerable and, more broadly, whether wage policies are keeping pace with the rising cost of basic services and food as well.
So I think what's clear from the evidence is that wages are certainly not at all keeping up with the cost of living. I mean, I think across all sectors, wages unfortunately are failing to keep up. And of course, inflation has also wreaked havoc. So by no stretch of the imagination are wages able to keep up with inflation or the costs of anything in any sector, really. But when it comes to grants, more specifically to your question, I think it's quite a difficult one. There has been an increase in grants over the last year. We've seen that the child grant increased a little bit. So did the foster care grant, the disability grant, I suppose grants across the board, really, the SRD by 20 Rand. And the question is, can those grants really keep up with the cost of basic goods? That's clearly not the case. I think there has to be more of a concerted effort to be able to create possibilities for people to be able to derive an income and not have to rely on social grants. But unfortunately, the way things are currently, people have to, unfortunately, rely on social grants.
Are you able to give us a sense of tangibly how this cost of living is impacting poor and working class households, and maybe where you could look at it from where compromises are being made and where people are just being forced to deny themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of trade-offs. People generally have to choose between buying food for their children or buying clothes, paying for energy, for example. And we know that the energy supply hasn't been particularly reliable in any event. So people have to look for alternative sources of energy. And these are all trade-offs that people have to make in the household. When we launched the report on Friday, we also had a conversation about the fact that women particularly are inclined to skip a meal because they need to be able to ensure that the children have eaten. And another question is, how nutritious is the food that they're eating anyway? So there have been many compromises in terms of the quality of food, the consistency of food, the availability of food. And then, of course, this idea of women particularly skipping out on meals. The cost of education, of course. How are people supposed to access even basic education? Because in order for them to get to schools, for example, they have to pay for transport. So there are these kinds of trade-offs where mothers are not necessarily able to send their children to school because they can't afford the transport cost, even if education itself is free. But then what happens to the children during the day when the parents have to go to school, etc.? Unfortunately, it's a cyclical effect.
Is the problem more pronounced in urban or rural areas, or an even spread, do you think?
It certainly looks like, based on the data, it certainly looks like it's an even spread. But of course, you have a lot more rural people migrating to the urban areas, as we've seen over time, for different reasons. A lot of them are looking for better basic services, so better access to services. And then some are looking for economic opportunities. So we have seen that a lot of people are migrating from the rural areas, obviously also because there are fewer economic opportunities in the rural areas. And we're starting to see that some provinces are starting to have more unemployed people, unfortunately, or more working poor. So even where people are working, they are now categorized as the working poor because the cost of living is impacting everybody. But even in the more wealthier classes, even in the middle classes, we're starting to see a narrowing of that inequality gap. And that narrowing is not as a result of people becoming wealthier. It's actually as a result of people becoming poorer.
And I suppose it would be difficult to put your finger on any immediate policy shifts that you could recommend to bring relief to low-income households. Turning something this size around is not an easy job, and nor is it one that's going to happen quickly.
Yeah, I guess the policymakers are really tasked with having to pay particular attention to the findings of the report and the gaps and what needs to be done in the immediate term to try and relieve these factors. We know that there's the budget, third time round. Hopefully we'll be lucky this time and it will actually get passed. But yeah, these are the kinds of considerations, unfortunately, that the policymakers really have to pay attention to. What are the more immediate solutions? Yeah, I guess that is the question of the day. And I think the policymakers really do have to look at what they're going to be putting into the budget, where they can cut costs that are unnecessary so that they can redirect expenditure towards social security. I mean, I think those are critical conversations that they have to have. Things obviously about providing job opportunities, those can't happen overnight, but I mean, those need to be accelerated. I think that EPW programs, community work programs, those have to be paid particular attention to and definitely have to be accelerated. But yeah, I think that in the short term, we have to look at what's going to happen with the budget and how much more can be channeled towards social security. I don't know that there is much room, but there really does have to be a solution.
And I guess to a slightly longer lens, maybe a rethink as well on the priorities in the next medium-term strategic framework.
The priorities, I think, have been outlined. I think the problem is always around implementation. And I think that we as NPC3 have certainly been calling for greater focus on implementation. I think that the targets are there. And I think that there are pathways, absolutely, to solutions, pathways to meeting some of these targets. Again, it's all about implementation. It's about a commitment, of course, political will, and absolutely has to be underscored by acceleration. I think that maybe we do have an opportunity now with everything that's happening in the world, with certain programs having been unfortunately denied aid, it does give us an opportunity to look at more creative ways, more collaborative ways of trying to address some of these concerns. But yeah, I think it means that we all have to really come together and address with a greater sense of urgency, a greater sense of pragmatism, these problems, because they are certainly affecting all of us. I mean, as I say, I mean, even the middle classes are affected. And I think if ever there was a time for all of us to come together as the playing field is being leveled, it is now.
Thank you very much indeed for talking to me. That's National Planning Commission Commissioner Makhiba Molo. I do appreciate your time.